first week of our future her absence, so. Okay, as Simo mentioned, our final result was basically working our way through a paper by Olaf Meyer. And I think I'll just read this abstract to you because really I couldn't work it more eloquently than this. The results of the canonical quantum gravity concerning geometric operators of black hole entropy are beset by an ambiguity labeled by the immersive parameter. We use the results from classical gravity concerning the causal normal mode spectrum of the black hole to fix this parameter in a new area. As a result, we arrive at the Beckenstein-Hawking expression of A over her Planckian squared for the entropy of the black hole, and in addition, see an indication that the appropriate graph is quantum gravity is SL3. Not discovering the group SM2. Okay, so you see, we actually didn't get to the paper for our last day. We have to understand what the policy is. Okay, so I'm going to describe that a bit more. Then Jesse will follow with the actual calculation. And if we have some time left, we can discuss dragons. Okay, today's criteria. Were spin networks. And spin networks arise from taking several principles from general relativity and certain geometric principles. And we arrive at spin networks like this. And this and that the nodes, we have volume. At the lines area. And each line has an associated spin number, equivalent to the spin, right? This means the lines have two possible states, for example, have three possible states. In general, the number of states, the number of j's is. In the black hole, we don't know what slider inside or on inside or similarity, right? But we do know that it has a surface area, the depth of horizon. So we considered only the lines going inside and for example. Relates the entropy to the area. And similarly, with using the spin networks, we can also calculate the area and entropy of this dampened black hole. Namely, the area of one spin line is somewhere in the equation. For the area of the black hole in these spin lines. And remember that each spin line is equal to the number of states, the equation for the number of states. Now you may remember from the last presentation, entropy is simply defined as where omega is the number of states. So, for example, you take this equation, and the lines, area of n lines of spin j, then we get omega is equals j plus 1 to the power of n. Does that make sense? We have two possible states here. One of the possible states here will be 2 times 2 possible states as well. So we have n states that is 2 times 2 times 2, n times. We have to get that. Now we get the value of omega. Okay, then let's
So the basic challenge was to figure out how can we reproduce this semi-class formula, the Wagenstein-Hodgkin formula, using what we know about spin networks, or rather some parts that we know about spin networks, because it's really an incomplete theory. Anyway, if we start off by Marco Chiodi here. So we have that area, and we can put that into at least part of the Wagenstein-Hodgkin formula. So four. And then we also have the part of the entropy formula here, so we can substitute. All right, but the big question is omega here, because there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different ways to model a black hole using spin networks. For example, it's related by the area. So what we have, say, a particular area with spin coming out of the looks like here. This has a particular area, and also so does this. So for at least that area, right now we have two different ways to reproduce the area using spin network. So that's at least two parts of omega. Now, of course, because each spin has a particular value, so it's 1/2 plus 1/2 minus 1/2, there's also a whole bunch more states. And so we've got a big task here. Because, as you can imagine, for a larger area, you're going to have a lot more spin lines crossing the Venn diagram, which is going to be a lot larger number of states and lots of different ways to calculate this. So we've got a big task in our hands. So the challenge is to simplify. How can we make this a little easier? Well, first off, we say that it's been said that a black hole is rotationally invariant, which means it looks the same no matter which way you turn it around. So we can say that means that all the spin lines here are going to have the same value. Otherwise, we can spin it around, move it, and we'd be able to tell the difference based on where a particular spin value was if it's been there. So we say they're all the same, which at least makes one part of our calculation easier. We can then say that the omega for a black hole could be where j is the spin, and this gives you the number of states for a particular spin value. And so what we've done is simply taken this exponent n up here, move it down there. Anyway, that at least lets us find omega for one black hole with a particular area, but there are lots of different ways to make that area with different black holes. So if we were to graph the relationship between omega and spin. We can do some substitution. The interesting thing is that it turns out that for a given value of spin, omega has a definite pattern, and it looks a lot like this. What this tells us is that if we were to take up all the smaller parts of omega from the large omega, and then using that figure out the entropy, that it seems that the smaller that your spin is, the larger omega gets. So what it means is that the larger your spin is, you're eventually contributing less and less and less to the total value of omega. So you can estimate roughly the value of omega for entropy using only the smallest value of spin that you need. Okay, so. Mark mentioned that the problem here for doing any particular calculations was the emergency parameter, which is what comes alright, this is the emergency parameter here. You said before that this entire thing was steep. We didn't really know about that or what it was for the first couple of days, so we were trying to struggle to figure out how that could be. But after we figured out how you could simplify it to solve for omega, we end up getting a way to solve for this whole thing right here. And that formula looks like this.
Remember, J is the constant. We have only one value there. And the emergency parameter is another constant. Now we can solve for the emergency parameter. Okay, first of all, the n cancels out, and this whole thing is a deep constant. So we at least reproduce the Beckett-Shamaki result that is proportional. Yeah, we get the exact constant value for Beckett square.
By solving by using the equations that we figured out here, it turns out that the emergency parameter turns out to be dependent on spin, which means that we have to settle on a value of spin for a particular black hole. So we can solve for gamma to an extent, but we still need to kick in one more thing here in order to make it clear. Alright. So okay, so there's how it works here. So as you can see, yeah, it doesn't mean specify. So now the next part comes in is another formula here, being a second classical one that relates the area of a black hole to its mass, and that formula is something you can do with that to find out what cannabis, which is, which we haven't fully explained yet.
Where are you measuring the measurement for protein?
Great eyes. Wow, okay, so in a minute. All right, you know, like atoms help they can gain or lose energy in discrete quanta? It turns out that black holes can do the same thing. In this case, they can gain or lose area in discrete quanta as well. And it turns out we can figure out the top. Your eyes built a halo. And throw in a few more things here. Anyway, we can throw in a few more things, in which case we find another separate way of figuring out what gamma or the emergence parameter is. Now, seeing as how we found two different ways to use these, one of them works and one of them doesn't. Now, the reason why we have the separate one is to see if we can see if our original way of finding gamma was correct. And it turns out that the only way we can get the two gammas to match is if we choose our basic unit of spin to be 1, which has apparently some very interesting outcomes, which we don't entirely know what they are yet. But what this means is that there definitely is a relation between spin networks and black holes, which is what we set out to find. And in the course of that, I got pretty confused at the same time.
Definitely like it when we had the spotlight on it. We decided to make perimeters to find